Hello and welcome to Music is the Drug, the Cowboy Junkies podcast. I'm Dave Bowler and I wrote the book Music is the Drug, the authorised biography of Cowboy Junkies, which came out last year. Over the course of the next few weeks, with the help of Michael Timmins and Alan Anton, we'll be looking at songs from right across the Junkies repertoire, from White's Off Earth Now all the way through to Ghosts. For the most part, we're going to concentrate on Junkies originals across this series. But let's start at the very beginning. Track 1, Side 1 of the Junkies' debut album, White's Off Earth Now, Shining Moon by Lightning Hopkins. The first song on any album is a bit of a statement, but the first song on your first album must be doubly so. I asked Michael Timmins how they came to choose Shining Moon as that very first track.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard one. You know, it's a long time ago, so it's hard for me to remember how we went about sequencing that. I mean, Shining Moon, what, you know, speaking, talking about like that, it is an important song for us because of who wrote it, or at least who was famous for it, which is Lightning Hopkins. And for me anyways, like, Lightning Hopkins was one of the first blues guys who I suddenly connected with, quite old. Like, I didn't grow up listening to the blues. I sort of got into blues when I was living in London, actually. And I met someone there who was really into the blues and introduced me to a lot of it. And when I heard Lightning play guitar, it really brought me back to guitar playing. Like, I'd sort of lost my way and a little bit, and as far as being a musician goes and how to approach music. And like, I'd totally fallen out of love with any sort of structural pop music, and if you include blues in that. And when I heard Lightning play guitar, it was like, oh my God, like that's what it's about. Like, one single note is the way he expressed himself, with one note, and every note was relevant, right? And he wasn't like this brilliant guitar player. He wasn't somebody who you listen to and went, oh my God, how does he play that scale? Or it was really just every note had some emotion in it. And so that really brought me back to listening to more sort of structured music, whether it be pop music or blues or country music or whatever. And so Shining Moon was important just because it's sort of the start. It's a restart for me as a musician, and then certainly it's a start up for the band as a band. And that's how we started, really reinterpreting blues songs. And we never called ourselves a blues band, but that was our sort of takeoff point, was the blues. And hopefully we never lost it. I think whenever we do an album or recording, I always think in terms of, you know, I always push towards the blues side of things, right? I wanted to have, again, not structurally, not a 12-bar blues, just have some sort of feeling. Like, and what I mean by that is just like it's got to be human. You know, there's got to be a human side to it.
For Alan Anton, Shining Moon is a pivotal song in the Junkies' career, one that established the shape of things to come.
I've always thought of it as the song that we found our sound on, because when we first started the band, we had yet another brother, John, on guitar. So there were five of us, and he was playing quite a lot of rhythm based, almost Jerry Garcia type stuff, and kind of filling up the sound of the band, which was great at the time because we didn't really know where we were heading except towards a kind of a psychedelic groove. It was our only kind of indicative thing at the time. So we're all kind of in the same headspace, which was good. And we did some gigs with him as well at first. And so we're happy with how it was going. But then he decided that he wasn't cut out to be in a band for some reason, and he left. And we're kind of dejected about it, because we'd put a lot of effort into it up to that point. But our first rehearsal without him, we played that song, Shining Moon, and that had all this space in it that he had filled up previously with his rhythm. And we just loved it. We said, wow, this is really, really cool. How do we pursue this? And so we kind of applied it to all our other songs. Sometimes it was a matter of taking, like, especially with Shining Moon, it was a matter of taking what John was doing on guitar and putting that as the bass line. So what I'm playing is his line on that. I can't remember what I was playing before that, probably not much, just holding down the bottom. But so I started playing his melody on the bass, and that, you know, transformed the song into something else as well. And so that happened a few times on different songs. I would remember what John was doing and use his rhythms or melodies in the bass lines. And we sort of progressed that way and applied it to all the songs we had done up until then, which probably wasn't that many songs, like 10 or 12 songs. But that's how we, one of the ways we found our sound. The other one is, of course, our neighbors telling us to be quiet because we were too loud in our garage. So we became quieter and quieter. And so that helped. When John left, we became really quiet. And so all this stuff stood out a lot more. We were playing quietly and sparsely. And, Margot always sang quietly anyways. So her voice really came out of the quiet at that point. And when we went to do our first album, to record it with the one microphone with Peter Moore, he was able to kind of easily capture the spot in the garage to put the microphone to hear all that stuff. So, without John leaving, I don't know what kind of record we would have put out as our first record. And going beyond that, I don't know if it would have been as interesting in a way, because, like I say, the sound became just something that really caught our attention as soon as we had it.
With that song and with that album, really, that is who we are. Like, that's our base, our root. That's our trunk, and everything else springs off of that. And it's just, and what I mean by that is, it's just, that album is just the four of us playing. None of us are great musicians. None of us are trained. Certainly, Pete and Mark, it's probably their first semi-professional recording they've ever done. So we're very at the very, very start of who we are and what we're doing, and we're sort of just discovering it. But by that point, we'd only been together, less than a year for sure. So, and we never went away from it. It was just we realized that it was the way we communicated with each other, with the four of us, the way when we played, that was sort of who we were, and that was our strength, and that was what made us original. And for some people, that was what made us. Some people say, well, we never change, we always do the same thing. Well, we don't really, but we do. But what is the same is that sort of base connection between the four of us. And we play our instruments the way we play our instruments. And when you put the four of us together, that's what it sounds like. And, we can add any embellishment or any, more musicianship to it or add other players to it. But there's always that root, which goes back to White Soft Earth Now and to Shining Moon, I'd say.
Blues at that sort of point in the mid-80s had become very kind of polished. I mean, Eric Clapton was doing those very polished records. Robert Cray came around at that kind of time. I mean, this really was going back to the root of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that blues music, I wasn't listening to modern blues music at the time, and I don't know if I ever even have, really, It kind of gotten whiteified. hence the name of the album. it was originally, what really struck me at the time was, again, a typical white boy thing. I discovered, real blues music, just like the Rolling Stones did and all those bands, and Eric Clapton did, certainly when he went way back in the early 60s or whatever it was, late mid 60s. So, but I didn't want to sort of, none of us wanted to take it and just redo it. We didn't want to sort of put a white spin on it. We wanted to take, what was our music, which was more 80s music, which was more Joy Division and more, more angsty. We wanted to take those influences and turn it into what, who we were. And we wanted to use, I don't know, it's hard for me to tell what part of it we used, but it's there. Like, it's just, we took the communication side of it, right? And we wanted to use that and use it and, but use our language. So that's what it was, really. It was just using our language with the original, with, people like Lightning Hopkins and whether it be Robert Johnson or Muddy Waters or John Lee Hooker. And, their the way they communicated was so simple, and we wanted to do the same, but with our language. We didn't know their language. We didn't live their language. So it was our experience. And, so that's, and then that's why we kind of credited those songs. There's nothing musically, Shining Moon a little bit, but just the lick. There's not a whole lot musically that's similar with what those guys did. But, lyrically, we took some of their lyrics and then credited them with the songs. Unlike our predecessors, we credited them.
Well, Shining Moon is obviously from the North American blues tradition. The Junkies' performance of it is rather skeletal. That betrays the European influence that was also at work on their music right from the outset.
The band we had before, Mike and I, Hunger Project, those were our touchstones, really, The Cure and Joy Division. Probably especially Joy Division at that point. But then when we came to do Cowboy Junkies, it was more, like I say, we wanted to apply a more psychedelic approach. And we also decided to cover American roots songs, you know, country and blues, mostly blues on the first album. So it was kind of conceptually a different approach then, but so we weren't really thinking of, you know, The Cure and Joy Division at that point when we started Cowboy Junkies, but it was always in the back of our minds. And as soon as that space created itself, we sort of all went there, I think, you know. I thought I was Peter Hook after that. And that was my approach, you know, was to take the melody first and do the rhythm second, you know, on the bass, which is kind of the wrong way around for most bass players. But that's what I've always loved about players like him and Jean-Jacques Brunel and Simon and The Cure and Paul McCartney, actually, who's one of the first players to do that, I think, in rock. So I've always been attracted to that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we didn't sit down and say, okay, let's put these two sides together. But that was where we were coming from, you know, at that time, especially. This was mid-80s, and, you know, that was the music as, you know, teenagers, 17, 18, 19-year-olds. That's the music that really affected us back in the, you know, late 70s and early 80s. And so, you know, a few years on, you know, and we'd been in bands. You know, our first band, Hunger Project, was much more aligned with sort of the more European side of things and the UK side of things. But we'd grown tired of that, and that scene had grown very stale. But that was still in our blood. You know, that was still the music that really affected us as people and really made us want to become musicians and join a band, you know. So that was still there. And then, but this new music was what inspired us. The blues music is what really inspired us and what made us sort of go way back beyond there. But we still had this sort of, the language was still coming from that 1980s-ish era. So it just naturally kind of, we melded the two together, and it was more of it was a very organic thing. Wasn't necessarily thought about, but it just happened naturally. You know, we didn't have the skills to decide one way or the other. We played the way we played, and we took the influences as the way they affected us. So then that's what came out.
A live EP that came out 1989, I think, from Berkeley. Shining Moon is on it, and the song has obviously developed a lot from you playing it for the previous 3 years. It's a lot stronger, I think, and Margot in particular has got more inside the song by that point.
Yeah, I mean, we still play it live, and still, you know, it's still a part of our repertoire. And I think, you know, if you're to see us like three or four shows in a row, you'd probably hear it at least once. And we don't play it that often because we tend to lose it if we play it too often. And we don't usually go back and compare. Okay, how are we doing a song compared to the way we did it? Maybe if we recorded it originally, because. Unless we can't find the song, we want to bring it back. And I'm wondering, okay, so what's gone wrong here? So, but that song, I think, like with a lot of our songs from that era, you know, whether it be Trinity Session or White's Upwith Now, or even maybe some of Cautionary, we play them stronger because we're just more confident as musicians. We just play them heavier, maybe, and you know, a little bit more. We're just that much more comfortable. I mean, at that time, like in 1985, when we recorded that record and that song, you know, we were literally, Pete had been playing for, you know, 6 months, you know, 7 months, and Margo was just beginning to figure out how to approach a microphone, never mind singing. And so, you know, that whole record is so tentative in many ways, and that's part of its charm and why it works. You know, nobody's exerting themselves, or nobody's asserting themselves, I should say. So that's part of it. And, you know, you can't fake that. And so, you know, we don't try to now. We play it the way we are now. You know, it's a funny song because we still, even though we've been playing it for over 35 years, we still screw it up a lot. And that lick, I should know off, you know, just like in my sleep, but I still screw it up because I get so, I played it in a weird tuning. It's in A, and I played it in a D tuning, and I don't know. And again, that goes back to not really knowing what we were doing back then, to sort of just experimenting and figuring stuff out. And So it's a funny song for us.
Hope you enjoyed the first episode of Music is the Drug. We'll be back again next week. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe and like the podcast and let everybody else know that it's around. For all the news and details on the band, go to cowboyjunkies.com. See you next time. You know, it makes me feel like jumping low, low. Through the keyhole in his door.